I want to tell you a little bit about Charity Hospital. I came about, first of all, anybody here from New Orleans? Oh, right. Anybody here during Katrina? Okay. And do y'all remember what happened after Katrina with Charity Hospital? So first of all, during Katrina, the workers they evacuated most of the people out of it. They had a couple of hundred patients left. And at some point, they made it through the storm fine, and then the levees broke, and there was a flood. So during the storm, everything seemed to be okay, except they eventually lost power. And after the levees broke, the basement flooded. Only the basement flooded. And eventually, they evacuated out the patients, and about a week later, they evacuated everyone out. But when the military came in right after Katrina, they looked around and they saw that this was the least damaged hospital in the city, and they immediately knew they could get this back up. So I'm going to just take you through the story of it. The military came in, saw the basement was flooded, got pumper trucks and pumped out the basement. And then they cleaned it. They cleaned the first three floors. They wiped it down. They had it cleaner than it was before Katrina, as everyone said. And they had it ready to open again. So this is in February after the storm. And everything's nice and clean and beautiful. At that point, General Honoré goes to the governor and says, hey, well, look, we're ready to reopen Charity Hospital. And the governor says, I think we have other plans. Thank you very much. They were looking for the replacement of Charity Hospital. It turns out that they wanted a new hospital all along, and this was going to be a great excuse to get one. So again, this is third floor psych unit, perfectly clean, in October after the storm. This is the first floor ER on the first floor after Katrina in February. And this is October. And then it started to get bad in there. This is after the military cleaned up. Seventh floor radiology in February after the storm, and then in October after the storm. You see a theme here. This is 5 weeks after the storm, after the military cleaned it up. This is the ground floor ER hospital. Sheets folded on the bed, ready to reopen. This is 3 weeks later. So, what happened? This is what it looked like when people started to get to come in again. This was after the military spent weeks cleaning it up. The military, doctors, nurses, the community, many branches of the military worked on this, had it ready to go, had it ready to turn over to the government, and then weeks later, this started happening. This is just an article from CNN that said that they put on a dog and pony show when they finally allowed the press in, and that that Charity was absolutely deemed unsalvageable, and it needed to be demolished. About this time, the preservationists come in. The legislature had named this organization that I was newly on the board of to do a study to see if we could reuse a couple of floors of Charity Hospital, not the whole building, just a couple of floors for mental health, possibly. It turned out the study was not funded by the legislature. They just asked us to do it, figuring we wouldn't do it. I kind of took it on as this mission for some ungodly reason. And it turns out the study was not going to be like a $30,000 study. It was a $600,000 study. So I had to raise the money, and we did. And we did it because people loved Charity Hospital. They loved the history. If you trained at Charity Hospital, you were one of the best doctors around. If you got hurt in New Orleans, you wanted to be taken to Charity Hospital. It was a hard hospital, but you saw more cases, you trained better, and it had a history of taking care of the poor. So we did this study, and not only did we find that the building is salvageable, at this point they're saying that they need to demolish the building. It just can't be saved. So we not only we hired the seventh largest architectural firm in the world, and they go in and they study it, and they not only find that it's structurally sound, but it also is perfect for a modern hospital because the ceiling heights are so high. So they figure they call me up and they say, I don't understand why they won't look at this hospital. Maybe it doesn't fit the programmatic needs of the hospital. How many operating rooms, how many private rooms, how many whatever. So they, my architects did a concept plan. And they discovered that if you gutted the whole hospital, they weren't saying keep Charity Hospital how it was. They said gut the building and put a brand new hospital inside. And with it, we could get all the private rooms, all the, they would put an atrium on the front. They had all the private rooms. Everything that LSU at the time, who was going to build the new hospital, wanted could go in there. So we could have done it. So then we start a campaign that is faster, cheaper, and less destructive to go back into Charity. If we could gut it and go back in, we would save 34% in construction costs, which was like $285 million, just in the hospital portion alone. And we could finish in 3 years. We could gut it, get back in, because the hospital was already empty. It wasn't like you had to work around the hospital to remodel as you went. Hospital was empty, get in there, get it, gut it, and we would have been open by 2011. We're at 2014 now. So, could have saved $283 million. We even bought billboards, kind of letting the legislature know that that would have been a good idea. And to give you a little idea of the area, that building right there, the big, giant building in the center, that's Charity Hospital. It's 1 million square feet. It is in what was called the Medical Historic District, Historic Medical District, which is that whole block area. And I'm sorry, I forgot a pointer. But on the, okay, so Charity is now the building, Brad, if you could, up, halfway up. Okay, yeah, up here. And the buildings down where Brad, below Brad's arm, are the VA hospital. So this was a huge medical complex. It was the VA complex, it was Charity Hospital, and across the street, up even higher, is Tulane Hospital. And on our left is Claiborne Avenue. What they decided they wanted to do was, there's Charity Hospital again, and behind it is all the VA property. And again, this is a huge historic buildings that were the medical district. So Charity Hospital is now off to the right. What they wanted to do was go in and wipe out this entire neighborhood for the VA complex. So we were going to abandon the area behind Charity Hospital, that big area I showed you before, put the VA hospital there, put the LSU hospital there, abandon everything that was downtown. I see you shaking your head. It's unbelievable. The LSU medical school's here and the Tulane medical school's over here. So what they were doing was jumping over Claiborne Avenue, which is an interstate, and wiping out 67 acres of historic property in order to build this new hospital and the VA center. And what we were proposing, if you're going to do this, leave the densely populated neighborhood that was up there. Put your VA hospital here, put Charity back to use, and expand your Charity, expand all your ambulatory care and ancillary buildings back to where the VA hospital were, and then you could create this synergistic area for a medical center that didn't wipe out a neighborhood and wasn't spread across half of New Orleans. Then to get this passed, the VA and LSU start telling us, well, I'll tell you what, the reason we have to have all this land is we want to build jointly. We want to share our facility plans. We want to share our emergency rooms. We're going to build this all together. We need to build all next to each other. They're going to share everything. Next thing we find out, they can't share anything. Absolutely off the book. But they kept going. Literally, one day, we're testifying in the legislature, and the LSU is speaking, saying that they are going to have shared services. And we're getting calls from Baton Rouge, from New Orleans, where they're saying, they were having a public meeting saying, we can't share anything. So it was like, it was one of the wildest times. This is what they've decided to build. The left side is the VA hospital. It's a suburban sprawl situation. Lots of buildings taking up a lot of room. There's a street down the center, and then LSU is building on that acreage, the 37, and if you'll notice, over half of the footprint is surface parking lot. So we're taking out a historic neighborhood for mostly surface parking lot or possible future expansion. I'm going to let Brad talk about this a little bit more when he talks, but at one point FEMA offered LSU, they gave them $300 million, and LSU said, no, thank you, we're going to give that back. We'll give back the $300 million. We only used $10 million of it. We're basically saying we're going to go for more later. Then the FEMA comes in, and again, you got to remember, the only thing that flooded was the basement, and people went in and cleaned it up right after. So at that point, FEMA offers $23 million for the damages to Charity Hospital, and LSU says, no, thank you. They come back and they offer $16 million. They went down, and LSU said, no, thank you. And all of a sudden, we start hearing they're actually using this to build their new hospital. They wanted a new hospital all along, and they want more money so they can build their new hospital. This was not about the damage. So at that point, FEMA offers $150 million. Now, there's something called the Stafford Act. You have to, when FEMA reimburses to get the full value of the building, you have to prove that 51% of the building was damaged. Again, it was only the basement of a 20-floor building. LSU starts saying, FEMA starts saying, you're neglecting the building, you're purposely destroying the building. At that point, Senator Landrieu decides that there's too much back and forth about how much money they're going to get for FEMA is going to give LSU for the destruction of Charity Hospital. So she decides she's going to set up a FEMA arbitration panel. It's behind closed doors, and it's binding. Whatever is decided in this session is what they get, and that's the end of it. And we asked to go witness the hearing. It is public money, and we were told, absolutely not, it's behind closed doors, and whatever happens is binding. And guess what? They got $475 million for Charity Hospital for the basement flooding. The targeted area was 30 acres for the VA, 37 acres for LSU. It's 27 city blocks of pedestrian-scaled street grid. It's on the National Historic District, National Register District, and most of the houses were rehabilitated with federal monies after Katrina. So I want to tell you a little bit about the neighborhood. This is part of the VA hospital, where they want to build the VA hospital. And if you see how densely populated this is all. This is houses. You got to remember, people were told to come back after the storm and rebuild after Katrina. Come back, rebuild your home. There was road home money, federal money poured in for this. This is what the neighborhood looked like. This is right before Katrina. Actually, this is right after Katrina, because we went and shot a lot of this to show the neighborhood, trying to save it. Nice neighborhood, very nice. Typical New Orleans, very special. It's called Lower Mid-City Neighborhood. And then they started demolishing it. They started buying up the homes and demolishing it. Businesses had to move. Some salvage was done. This is a salvage project. This is a business that hung out till the very end. They fought in court. Literally, the day they lost in court, within an hour, they were there tearing the building down. So preservationists fought and said, oh, my God, we're going to lose. We're losing the neighborhood. We're losing everything. So we asked that let's at least move the houses. I mean, there's 165 historic houses here. Let's move them. Let's do something. People rebuilt them after Katrina. Let's get them. So we went crazy and rallied, and we got the mayor to move some of the houses. He promised to move 100 houses, but the problem was there was no plan in place. It was a knee-jerk reaction. So what he did was they cut the roofs off the houses, and they cut them into 60-foot segments so that they could move them quickly under power lines, and they started to move them. These are houses. And there's one traveling down the street in front of Dixie Brewery. This is Wally Thurman's house before, when he lived there. He grew up there. His parents built the house. This is after. It got moved. These are some houses that did get moved and landed. Some of them got landed kind of bizarrely. Some of them were landed and the roofs never put back on. This one collapsed eventually. So out of all, they moved about, attempted to move about 77 in the end. These are some of them that got moved, and once they got moved, they were stripped down to nothing. So what was the point? They spent $30,000 to $50,000 to move them. That's a new foundation on them and a new roof, and then they stripped all the historic elements out and rebuilt it from scratch. So this is one of the successes. This is a before. This is an after. This is what the neighborhood, I got to fly it a couple of times in the middle of all this. This is what the neighborhood looked like after the VA finished, were mostly finished with their demolitions. That was the first area to get cleared. You could see on the left how densely populated this neighborhood was. And these were hardworking people who had come back and built. And it's like they carved out a whole section of the city. Again, more demolition. This is just one of the houses that we found that didn't get revealed in the historic preservation part of it. And we managed to get this house moved, and it sits to this day on those blocks on that corner on Rocheblave, right outside the hospital. That's as far as it got. That was it. That's that same house in the middle of the site with everything else demolished around it. Again, that's the VA site carved out. And this is before, and this is after. So we've taken out whole neighborhoods. The VA tried to do a couple of nice things. They salvaged four of the houses and put them on the edge of the property, and they're going to use those as transition houses for the rehabilitation of soldiers that need some work. And Dixie Brewery, which was brewing beer up until the Friday before Katrina. This is it now. It was expropriated by the VA, by the city, and turned over to the VA. The owners were offered $52,285 for the property. It was seized by eminent domain. They still have not had their day in court. They are challenging the constitutionality of the taking. Still have not had their day in court. And if you go past it now, the facade of the building is still up to about 20 feet back, and then the rest has been demolished. This is the LSU site, and on that site, there was hope to save these nine houses. They were decapitated. They were put up. They were cut into their 60-foot lengths. The roofs were cut off. They were on trailers, and they were ready to go. And in the background there is McDonough 11 School, which is we did manage to save, which was another huge battle. But I'm going to go back a minute. Those nine houses, one day, we're waiting for them to move, and we wait months and months and months, and they never move. And one day I go past, and they're demolishing three of them in a row because they want to get to the power line next to them. So they never got a chance to get off the property. I think eight or nine of them eventually moved to this field and sat for 2 years. And just right before the Super Bowl, they were demolished because I think they didn't want people driving by and taking pictures. There were a lot of reports about it. So every one of these houses were demolished. So not one house made it off of the LSU site. That's the LSU site from the air. That's the McDonough 11 School, which when we were in the preservation process of trying to save things, LSU said, absolutely not, we cannot save that building. It's where my emergency room is going to go. We fought and fought and fought. We had rallies. And we got it saved. But the funny part is, it just rolls around on that property. It's rolled around for, 2 years now? It just kind of rolls around on the property. It's the albatross around their neck. And now they're landing it. If you see up there, you see the curve at the exit of the interstate right at the very top? They've decided that that's the perfect place to put that school, in the center of that curve. It's basically inaccessible to anything, but that's another preservation win for us. They have no use for it, but we did manage to save the building. And by the way, that building was renovated with $3 million after Katrina. It had students in it up until they closed it to do this. That's what it looked like after they demolished most of the buildings. And it really just shows you, it just carves up the city. It's just heartbreaking to me. And I always throw this in because I'm mean. They promised to bury the power lines, too, that we wouldn't have to deal with the power lines. And instead of burying it, they built these huge power lines and encircle the property now. So we didn't even get that. In everything that we did, that we had a coalition of organizations, and we asked for three things. We asked for a cost-benefit analysis of which hospital plan was better, to demolish the neighborhood or to reuse Charity Hospital, including the economic benefits of having it back in service in 2011. We asked for the City Planning Commission and the City Council to hold public hearings on these issues and to take a vote. And we asked that the City Council and the City Planning Commission include the hospital in the master planning process for the city. We got none of these, not one of these things. This is the irrational thing that our organizations were asking for, three parts of civic process that should have taken place. I'm not going to bore y'all with Section 106, but this is a preservation act that says you have to look at how to avoid, mitigate, and minimize adverse effects to historic properties whenever federal monies are used. And we went through this process. It was unbelievable. And what they did was they found that demolishing that neighborhood had no significant effect on the environment and on the history. We had lots of rallies. We had lots of citizen support. We had LSU refused to meet in any public forum and have any discussions because they said that it's a disservice to speak about it anymore. Why bother? What was his line? Attending a meeting would be a disservice to the people of New Orleans because any further debate would delay LSU's plans. This is one of our great doctors, Dr. Moises. There's Brad Ott in line at public meetings. There was a lot of outcry about lack of transparency. There was a lot of outcry. We had a lot of public support, Dr. John. We had call-outs at Jazz Fest. We did everything under the sun. We had a second line for Charity Hospital. 1,200 people showed up on a Monday night to rally. The public support to keep this hospital open or to reuse the building was phenomenal. And yet, we also did a poll right before the mayor's race and found out that 3/4 of the people supported reusing Charity Hospital. And I'll skip through some of the stuff. This is for Janet. Mentally ill continued to struggle because Charity Hospital was one of the places where mentally ill people could go, and they were safe, and they were treated. Of all the issues that were in this battle, and I'm trying to get through fast, y'all, so you can hear everybody else, but this touched on fiscal responsibility, on the lack of health care. We ceased to have health care in New Orleans for years. The lack of transparency, lack of planning, racial and economic justice, historic preservation, and property rights. And Charity Hospital sits today abandoned. Hopefully there'll be a request for proposals that goes out fairly soon, and we'll find a reuse for it. And Janet will be talking a little bit more about that. And this is, I'd like to introduce Bill Bora, who's one of our great preservationists in New Orleans, and this is his line. Bill was part of our team in trying to save Charity Hospital. That ultimately the city, state, and federal agencies succeeded in doing what Hurricane Katrina could not. They wiped out Charity Hospital and a historic neighborhood. And there you go. Thank you.